We at First EPC believe that the Bible is God's truth, that it's living, active, the only infallible way of faith and practice, uniquely and fully inspired by the Holy Spirit. So it's important to know what it says. Hear God's word from Romans chapter 15. Verse 13 verses. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell upon me. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even to he who rises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Let us pray a moment. Lord God, we pray that you would minister your grace to us in this moment and truly teach us your word. Show us, Lord, how to love one another, how to care for one another, how to have open hearts for one another. Lord, may your Holy Spirit move amongst us and open our hearts to receive your truth as only you can. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, the church has always been a pretty irregular bunch of people. I mean, look at it. Look at what Jesus picked as his first 12. Saved by the gracious personal relationship with Jesus Christ, seeking to serve and glorify God in this world. But who are we? Interestingly, those who make up the church universal don't really have a lot to say about who is involved. Oh yeah, there's a certain amount of choosing of those who want to be with us and seek individual parts of the body of Christ. Where we worship, we choose that place. Where we serve, we choose those places. But honestly, geography and style and family and friends and the absence of anything better most often rules the day. The result is a group of folks with differing likes, all sorts of different opinions, that's for sure. And sometimes very little connection with one another, except that we all love Jesus Christ. Sometimes we're maybe not all that sure about those other folks, right? Is this the church that Paul described in Ephesians 4:16, where he described it as a body that grows and builds itself up in love? Or in Corinthians, where he said the body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts, And though all those parts are many, they form one body. Or Jesus, when he was praying for his disciples, as we shared earlier this morning, praying that they may be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Think about what Jesus just prayed. Complete unity. Can you imagine the impact that such a body would have on this world? The world that looks in? Can you imagine how healing it would be to be a part of such a group? Can you imagine how much that group could do in the world in which we live? So how do we find that unity? How do we find that kind of complete unity? How do we grow and build ourselves up in love? Well, Paul offers some direction right here in the first part of chapter 15 in Romans. And one of the very first things he says is, we need to look out for each other. We need to look out for each other. You're not responsible for setting everyone straight, but you are responsible for helping each other out, even when it's inconvenient. Listen to what Paul says in verse 1. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, Paul directs his words to the strong because that's often those believers who think they're the strongest and they're stronger than everyone else, who make life difficult for the rest of us. Christians who consider themselves strong sometimes look down on others as if somehow they just don't measure up. This is the point that Paul's making in Galatians when he said, you, my brothers, are called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. We need to look out for the other guy, the other gal. Think about how our actions, how our attitudes affect those around us. It's not a matter of being right. It's a matter of being righteous. Thinking about the other person. In verse 2, Paul says, let each of us please. Interesting choice of words. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good. For his good. To build him up. To build him up. Your job, my job, as Paul says, our obligation even, in the Christian life, is to build up others. To build up others. Especially those who don't have it together. Especially those who are failing, who are faltering, who are struggling. To speak as much as possible as we can get into their lives and build them up. Paul's talking about those who are weaker than we are. You know, it's not our job to fix everybody. We can't do that if we wanted to. It is not our job to argue with them until they finally capitulate or force them into a certain channel or path that they have to accommodate in order for our attention. It's our job to build them up. As Paul says, it's your job to please them. I encourage you to try something this week, maybe. Try letting the driving force behind every conversation be an attitude of what can I do for you? Not just in the church, but out of the church. Every conversation, what can I say to you today that will help you feel better about yourself, about your life, about your job, about your family, about your relationship with God most especially? Try making every conversation about building up the other person. It's our job, according to Paul. According to God, it's our job to look out for one another. Paul said in verses 5, May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you hear that? Such harmony, in accord, together, one voice. He's saying we need each other. He's saying we need to work together. He's saying that we must look out for one another. A second truth that comes out of this passage is that we need to hang on to one another. Those are my words. He says in verse 7, therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The NIV uses the word accept one another. The emphasis is on receiving, in including into your circle of friends one another. I mean, think about it. How did Christ welcome you? He received you as you are. He didn't send you off to clean up before you came. He received you as you are. In spite of all your faults, in spite of all the sinfulness that was there, he didn't want you to become perfect and then welcome you into his family. He welcomed us just as we are. Now, he didn't bring us here just to stay as we are. No, he brings us here to find healing by the grace of his Holy Spirit. Now, we're all trying to be better. We're all trying to become like him. But our acceptance from God isn't based on our good works. Neither should that be the criteria of our acceptance of others. The fact is, we're going to let each other down. People will always let us down, just as we let ourselves down sometimes. They'll make mistakes, just as you make mistakes. They'll say things they shouldn't say. They'll do things they shouldn't do. But when you do those things, do you give up on yourself? No. You just keep trying to do things right. You come back again and again and try to make it better. In the same way, when others do wrong, we shouldn't abandon them. We shouldn't write them off. We should hang on to them. Hang on to their friendship. Keep up the fellowship. Do what you can to build them up. Paul says to the Colossian church the very same thing. He says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances that you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, he says, put on love, which binds them together, binds them all together in perfect unity. We need to say to one another, to the extent that it is humanly possible and biblically possible, I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to hang in there for you. I accept you as you are and pray for God's grace to continue molding you into his image. I will forgive when you need forgiveness. As far as I'm concerned, we're family. We're in this together. A few years ago, there was a song sung by a fellow named Ray Bolts. The title of the song is We Will Stand. And it said, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work till he comes. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. As long as there is love, we will stand. Look out for one another. Hang on to one another. A third truth about being the church and about being the Christian that God wants us to be is that we need to believe the best in one another. Look at verse 14. I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge and able to instruct one another. Now, Paul wasn't writing to a bunch of perfect Christians. They had divisions among them, for sure. They had differences of opinion. All churches do. The church in Rome wasn't a perfect church, for sure. And Paul believed. Paul knew that. But Paul also believed that it was a good church. It was a good church. It was God's church. It was God's people. He believed in them. And he believed the best about them. And his basis for believing the best about the Roman Christians was his faith in the power of God. His faith in the power of God. Paul believed that when a person accepts Jesus Christ into their life and experiences salvation through him in faith, that person does indeed become a new creation. He wrote about that somewhere. You can look it up. A new creation, he said. A new creation in Christ. God's Spirit enters their existence and begins to change them little by little by little, step by step, day by day. He begins to conform them into the image of Jesus, the image of his Son. That's the purpose that God has for every one of us. When writing to the Philippians, he also said that he was confident. He was sure. Sure of this, he said, that he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You see, you and I are a project. God's project. I guess we could be in worse shape than that, right? We're God's project. And it's a project that God will never abandon. That's what he's saying in Philippians. He's never going to give up on it. He's going to bring it to fruition in the day of Jesus Christ. Everyone who is a member of Christ's church, God started something. He started something when we received Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. And he will finish it. He will finish it. We need to remember that this promise doesn't just apply to us. It applies to all who believe. Everyone. Even those who aren't at this moment as far along in their journey as you or I might be. We need to believe the best about one another. Let me add one final thought. To ever hope to approach complete unity that Jesus prayed for us as a body of Christ, we need to be honest with each other. The world can call us hypocrites, but we can't not believe that about ourselves. We can't believe we're liars and thieves and cheats. Who can trust a hypocrite? Who can trust a liar? That's the caution behind Paul's words in verse 15. But on some points, he said, I have written to you very boldly by way of reminder. To be the church, to be the Christians that God wants us to be, we must look out for one another. We need to hang on to one another. We need to believe the best about one another. And that means sometimes we need to say things to remind each other for the good of the body. We need to be bold. We need to be honest. We need to be truthful. And that may not always be easy. Indeed, most often it is not. I'm not talking about the little nitpicky things that we seem to major on. I'm talking about those things more serious, those things that are more essential to a relationship, a good relationship with God, to good spiritual health. Paul said in Galatians 6, he said, brothers, if someone is caught into a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him. And he has this beautiful word, gently. I want to be restored gently, please. It doesn't say rebuke him harshly. It doesn't say, it says restore him gently. And that's how we take care of one another. I read a statement a pastor once said, the most powerful experiences have been when I've had a problem most painful experiences have been when I had a problem and no one loved me enough to tell me about it. The Apostle Paul loved the Roman church, and he loves us enough to speak boldly when he needed to speak boldly. Sometimes we need to do the same, not about trivial, disputable matters, but about those things that really matter. You can't do this with strangers. You can't argue with a stranger. You can argue all day long and you won't resolve a thing. You can only restore and rebuild a person who is close to you. I've been told off by people who don't like me, and I've been restored by people who love me. I can recognize the difference. So can you, I'm sure. So can you, I'm sure. When someone believes the best about you, when someone accepts you and is looking out for you, you can hear it in their words. You can feel it in their attitude. You can see it in their face. So the question we need to ask ourselves this morning, who has our back? Do we feel like someone is looking out for us? Do we feel like we're part of a family, genuinely a family, not just a word? Are you confident that those that you gather with are loyal and trustworthy to you and to God? Do you feel like they really want what's best for you? Do they love you enough to be honest? Now that's the church Jesus was praying for. That's the church that found itself coming together in complete unity. That's what the body of Christ should look like. And in this kind of community, it will soar. That's what God wants for us, for you and for me. He wants us to find great personal blessing. And then we will know the joy of true friends and true family. In these last few chapters of Romans, Paul makes a strong emphasis on the importance of love. He teaches about the Christian life as a life of love. We know that. And that love is expressed through unity. And that unity is realized when we take care of one another. Let's make sure that we're rising up to that challenge. Because as we are, God will use us. He will use us individually, and He will use us as a church to make a mighty impact on Roanoke and this whole region. God will build His kingdom through us. We will be blessed, and He will be glorified as we come together in complete unity. Let's pray.